In late February 2018, Michael Whalen stood on a Main Street sidewalk across the street from the Diocese of Buffalo Chancery.
When I was like 14 years old, he took me up to his cabin in Springville, where the abuse took place.
He told the tale of being abused by a local priest, Father Norbert Orselitz. The retired clergy later confessed to the Buffalo News he molested many minors several years before. Little did Whalen know at the time his revelation would touch off what Bishop Richard Malone would later describe as a tsunami of abuse claims. As more claims came forward, so too did calls for the bishop's resignation. Critics, including Whalen, had complained he wasn't showing enough transparency, wasn't releasing the full number of cases to the public, and that the diocesan compensation program for victims was too limited. This week, Whalen said of the bishop's departure, "It's about time," and stated while he holds no ill will, Bishop Malone put himself in the situation.
Bishop Malone dug his own grave, more or less. He could have saved the diocese. He could have reached out to the lady and to the survivors. But he didn't. It seems like he went by a playbook that's been, you know, there for probably hundreds of years.
As more victims came forward and protested outside the chancery last year, watching from inside the office walls was Siobhan O'Connor, then the bishop's executive assistant. By October 2018, she had resigned and became a whistleblower.
I look back on those days and they feel even longer than almost 2 years ago because so much has happened since then, and I've learned and grown so much since then. But I remember how it was to be on the inside looking out, watching Michael Whalen's press conference and then the additional survivor press conferences that occurred there. And I just remember feeling so conflicted because I believe in the Catholic Church and I love my Catholic faith, but it was very difficult to observe what was going on and to see the disconnect from what Bishop Malone was saying publicly and what he was doing internally, and especially how that affected survivors. And now that I've come to know them, not just as my heroes, but as my friends, I'm just so grateful that now I'm on their side, and that brings me so much peace and joy.
O'Connor has since befriended and become close to many past victims, including Whalen, while also maintaining her Catholic faith, and the faith in many priests who have gone about their duties but felt the pressure of dwindling cash collections and dwindling numbers in the pews. Father Paul Seil, pastor of St. Bernadette Parish in Orchard Park and chaplain to the Buffalo Fire Department, says his parish is feeling a financial crunch, but he's more saddened by the dropping attendance.
You know, there are some needs of the diocese other than paying abuse victims or legal fees that get hurt then by that. So it's up and down. But the main thing for me is, you know, I'd rather lose a lot of money than lose any souls or lose any people or have any people turn their back on Christ because of something that we did as a church or as a community.
Father Seil also told WBFO of the verbal attacks some of his peers have faced, priests who have not misbehaved but have been condemned by some for being fellow clergy. He notes throughout history, priests and others have faced persecution for their faith, but he was asked how he and others have coped with each new story about another abuse allegation.
When you ask what do priests do to kind of get through this, well, you know, we kind of stick together, we talk, we try to share some lighter moments, and we also try to share some positive reinforcement that we receive from members of the laity.
Bishop Edward Scharfenberger of Albany is expected to serve as temporary apostolic administrator until a permanent replacement is identified and installed. The 71-year-old is currently taking on clergy abuse cover-up claims filed against his predecessor, Bishop Howard Hubbard. Ian Pickus, news director of WAMC in Albany, was asked how Scharfenberger has addressed that crisis and whether Buffalo Catholics may get more transparency.
And in the statements, it's very interesting to see, you know, reading between the lines a little bit, that Scharfenberger, while saying that Bishop Hubbard and others enjoy the presumption of innocence just like anyone else, and that it's important to withhold judgment until the facts are known, Bishop Hubbard did step down and left public life, at least while this is going on. So it appears that Scharfenberger is playing it, you know, sort of careful with public statements, but he has been willing to say that, you know, this is a real issue in the church and that the allegations are very, very serious.
In the meantime, the victim whose tale triggered the crisis did attend a Mass earlier this year for his first time in four decades. Whalen is hopeful others will soon be able to revisit the church, but he says the new leadership needs to be serious about change.
If the new bishop comes in here and he cleans house, and there's a lot of corrupt people that need to leave the Catholic diocese. If they can clean house and open everything up and be transparent, absolutely. I think survivors, and like I say, you know, that was a big step for me to go back into a church.
O'Connor has not spoken to Malone since becoming a whistleblower, but she hopes one day they can reconcile.
I really have no animosity towards him personally. I have a great deal of sadness over how things turned out because it didn't have to be this way. And I have frustration with how he's handled it and the decisions he's made and actions he has or has not taken. But I really pity him now. It makes me very sad to think of him. I'm not angry at him. I'm just so deeply disappointed. And I would hope that maybe sometime in the future that there would be some kind of reconciliation. I would hope that he would always know that I acted out of my conscience.
Father Paul Seil noted the timing of this change, the first week of Advent, the start of a new church year.
Certainly in the Diocese of Buffalo, we're going to see this as we're going to attach our symbolism to it in the fact that entering into the darkest days of the year, sunlight-wise, and lighting up the Advent candles as we prepare for the light of the world at Christmas, I think that will be our symbolism here as we write our local history of the Church of Buffalo. That will be part of our history, that in the dark days of winter and the beginning of Advent, we saw a light break. And now we have an increased hope, and hope is one of the main qualities of the Advent season.
O'Connor shared similar sentiments about the timing, the first week of Advent, calling it a season of hope and preparation, but she also calls this change an early Christmas present. Michael Mrosiak, WBFO News.